We are in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 and following. Now there was a famine in the land. That would be Canaan. And Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai. So again, they're not Abraham and Sarah as we know them, but Abram and Sarai at this point in time. I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why did you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Why did Abram leave the land promised to him?
Famine.
Severe famine. Yep. This is not unusual. It happens in Palestine. They're very dependent there on seasons and seasonal rainfall. And if for whatever reason, they were concerned about climate change back then, but for whatever reason, the rain didn't come one season, it would be very, very, very challenging for them.
Could it also be his lack of faith in God, that God would give him everything? Is that why he might have left also?
It's possible that played into it. That is possible. But in fact, you lead us nicely into this next question. Was this a poor choice on his part, demonstrating a lack of faith? And why or why not? And maybe the answer is yes, maybe he wasn't trusting God to take care of him. That's certainly possible. But could there be reasons why this would be an acceptable choice?
Gary?
Sure. I mean, God blesses us with the intelligence that we have. We don't establish farm fields in the middle of the desert, and say, "Come on, God, let's go." So he looked around him and said, "This isn't where it's happening, and I'm going to use my brain and go somewhere where it's more likely I can, I imagine, support my family."
Yeah, so it could be argued that it was just good stewardship on his part, taking all of his life. He was a shepherd, herdsman, taking all of his livestock to a place where they would have plenty of food and could be well provided for. So it could be a good stewardship decision. Any other thoughts, Karen? I thought you were going to say the same thing. Okay. Realize too that God had not commanded that Abram stay in Canaan. He had just told Abram to go there. So it's not that he broke God's rule by going to Egypt. I think he went to Egypt with full intention of returning back to Canaan. He just went down there probably for the sake of his livestock primarily. Egypt was always well watered. Why?
The river.
The River Nile. The Nile River that overflowed every year. Yep. We're very well watered. It was considered the breadbasket of the ancient world. Abram's journey to Egypt A famine could cause the loss of a shepherd's wealth. So Abram traveled through the Negev to Egypt, where there was plenty of food and good land for his flocks. Question immediately below. Roughly how far is it from Bethel to Egypt? If you look at the map guidelines there, can you kind of figure it out? What do you come up with?
250 miles.
Yeah, I think that's about right. 250, maybe 300 miles. It's a good sized journey. It was a major commitment to move his whole family and tents and servants and livestock there. What instructions did Abram give his wife before they entered Egypt, and why? Yep. Say, you're my sister. Was this a lie?
No.
It wasn't technically a lie. You're right. They were half brother and sister, right? Yeah, kind of strange circumstances that seems unusual to us. When you leave out something extremely pertinent, it's still a lie, right? When you mislead deliberately, that's a lie. Yeah. Why did he tell Sarai to say this?
So they don't kill him.
So they don't kill him. Now we don't know. I don't think that we're told. Do any of you remember or have a reference? We're told that Abram was like 70 years old when God told him to move. We're not told Sarai's age.
She was 10 years younger,
wasn't
she?
What was it?
Wasn't she 10 years younger?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. That the Bible does talk about that later. Yeah. That she was. Yeah. So, but
90, he was 100.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. Well done. Excellent, Ron. Still, she was along in years. Now, they lived a little bit longer than we do. But Abram says, you're a very beautiful woman. And wherever you go, you catch the eyes, and this is going to cause issues for me. So just say you're my sister.
But she also doubts God because she says, I'm an old woman.
Down so the road.
She could have looked just like most of us right now. But when she, I've heard someone talk about this before, possibly God rejuvenated her body.
There's no doubt it was a miracle.
Yes, exactly.
Down the road. We're going to get to that. Sarah has her moments. We won't get to it today. We'll get to it down the road. Sarah has her moments. It's good stuff. It's great stuff. You're absolutely, it's all pertinent. It all ties in. So at that point in time, Sarah was beyond, we don't, you know what the childbearing age was at that time because they lived longer, but she was well beyond it, so it was a miracle of what God did in her body. Absolutely. So Sarah has her moments too. This time though, Abram's really dropping the ball. Yeah, he was afraid.
She ended up marrying the king.
Well, yeah, she the. We'll get, yeah, we're going to get to that, Tom. That end of the table, you guys are troublemakers, man.
Because we're farthest from your
I've never hit anybody in any of my Bible classes, ever.
So why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? So she was married. Well, I don't know if she was married to Pharaoh, but he took her to be his wife. Isn't that what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna address that. We're gonna get to that. Again, it's a fire into the table. Come on.
You're losing control.
I'm sitting on that end next week.
Well, you gotta get permission before.
Oh boy. Rough crowd. Was this a poor choice on Abram's part, demonstrating a lack of faith? Yes or no? Clearly yes. Clearly yes. Why was it a poor choice on his part? He was not trusting God. And as you think of Abraham, you think of him as this incredible example of faith, do we not? And he was many times, and later on down the road, amazing examples of faith. But right here, not so much.
Being selfish and thinking only of himself.
There is no. No, yeah, he was clearly. I know. We're gonna get to that too. It's creeping this way. Yeah, but you're absolutely right, though. This was very selfish in this part, and it was a clear lack of trust and faith in God that he would work things out. Yeah. Why is it especially astonishing that Abram would demonstrate such a lack of trust and faith in God? You can look at verses 2 and 3 and 7 of Genesis 12 for a little help there.
All the promises that God gave him.
Yes.
Like he didn't believe.
Yes. And not only did God give them to him, Arlene, but God gave them to him personally. God spoke to him, told him. We don't know how that all transpired, but God personally told him, I'm going to do this for you, Abram. And in this example, he just simply was thinking on his own and wasn't really trusting God to work things out.
Human nature, evil nature.
Oh, yeah, he had a sinful nature. Oh, yeah. Yep. And aren't there times, even in our own lives, where sometimes we just seem really weak in our trust and faith, right? And then, you know, like a half an hour later, we're just like, What wretched people we are, how we struggle with this. Humanly speaking, why perhaps might Abram have wavered here? This is not excusing his sin in any way. Can you think of any reasons why that he might, Abram might have just been weak at this point?
He was scared.
He was legitimately scared, wasn't he? He was. Yeah. Yep. I think that's one reason. Any other things you can think of that might have come into play here?
Death.
What's that?
He faced death.
Yeah, he faced death, and that was a scary thing to him. That was, I mean, who doesn't face death without a little qualms? Yeah. Some other thoughts I wrote down are. He had recently arrived in Canaan only to face severe drought and famine, and now he had to travel again to Egypt. And so perhaps, Abram was really physically and emotionally drained. And I find myself that I make poorer decisions when I am tired than when I am well rested. I don't know. It's just speculation. We don't know. It's not excusing what Abram did in any way. But maybe those are some earthly factors that kind of came into play.
Mm-hmm. Proves he's human.
He was human, and as we talked about before, God shows us these wonderful men and women of faith, and shows us that they were human and struggled too, because that's comforting to us.
Yeah.
Do you suppose Abram tried to justify this decision in his mind? So was Abram saying that I got a good reason for doing this?
Well, it was human, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt he probably was. And that Genesis 20, there's another situation down the road very similar to this. Abram does the same thing. And if you look at those verses in Genesis 20, did Abraham try to justify what he did there? Anybody there?
Abraham replied, I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife.
There you go. Yeah. So when Abimelech down the road asked Abram, why did you do this? That's what Abram told him. This is a godless land, and I was sure you're going to kill me to get my wife.
Yes.
And that's what Abram told Sarai too, right? They're going to kill me for you because of you. She must have been a striking woman. I mean, to catch the attention of the people around them in this huge land. I mean, that, wow. Was Sarai innocent in this situation? After all, it was a strongly patriarchal society.
No, she went along with it.
She, yeah, in other words, Aubrey, what you're saying is she should have said, husband, dear, this is not a good idea, right?
Who a woman would have said that?
There's at least one woman at this table who would have. Sarah, even in a strongly patriarchal society, even though she, you know, honored her husband, this is the time she should have said, Abe, dear.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, this is not going to turn out well. Yeah. What was the risk of the deception? Yes, and yeah, which they did. Right, that was one risk. You're absolutely right. And what were the ramifications of getting caught when he's telling such a blatant lie? That's one. There are other ramifications too.
Why didn't they kill him when he found out?
Wait, just show a little patience. We'll get there.
But if Pharaoh took her for his wife, what's the risk of her possibly getting pregnant by Pharaoh instead of
Abe?
Yeah. Well, probably not. Yeah. Had a plan for her.
Yeah. Somebody, if Sarai, this beautiful woman, I don't know how Abram doesn't comprehend this. He's a beautiful woman. That's why he's concerned for his life, right? So what's the obvious thing? If she's only Abram's sister, she's going to draw attention, right? People are going to want to court her. Obviously, he didn't think she was going to catch Pharaoh's eye, and he was going to take her into his household, but he just wasn't thinking.
Yeah, I don't think it crossed his mind.
That would seem a logical thing, though. He's concerned. Is she such a beautiful woman? What did he think was going to happen?
Wasn't she, like, childless for a long time?
She was childless.
I probably thought, she's never going to have a child.
I don't know. It's hard for me to justify Abram and his thinking in any way here. I don't know. How did this scenario play out for Sarai? Well, for Sarai, she was taken into Pharaoh's household. Whether there was, to your question earlier, whether there was an actual marriage there or not, I'm speculating no. It was just... You know, Pharaoh is a beautiful woman, came into the land. They just gathered beautiful women to them as in the part of their concubine. It was just what they did in those days. So I doubt that there was an official wedding ceremony, but he considered Sarai one of his wives. He considered her one of his wives because he brought her into his household.
Did everybody have multiple wives?
It was much more common, Aubrey, than now, of course. It was much more common. Reasons for that were life expectancy were very short. There was also even the Lord built into, the Old Testament rules that if a brother dies, that the other brother should take his wife as his wife to keep the family line in place. There was a lot of reasons for it, but it was especially common among royalty. They would gather many women around them, you know, as wives and concubines. Concubine being somebody that you don't officially marry, but you marry, but you still can sleep with. So, Gary.
Well, and not really intending to pick on Abram, but to understand some of the lesson of the story. When he asked her to do that, he must have known that that was a potential consequence. So it was like, I'm not so concerned about you being forced into relations with somebody else as long as I live.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to accept that. And that didn't put her first by any means.
No. I don't think there's any way you can look at this without coming to the conclusion that in this situation, Abram was very selfish. Yeah.
He definitely wasn't trusting in God because God already told him he's going to be a great nation.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah. So this is Abram at one of his less stellar moments.
But this must have been for a while. I mean, the time frame is not given on how long he was there. But yet, it says he treated Abram well for her sake and acquired sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, manservants, camels. I mean, you don't give all that at once.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, Ron, that this, and again, you know, the Bible kind of gives us a brief summary of things, mm-hmm. and you don't realize the length of time often of these events. And I think you're absolutely right that this carried out, happened over a period of months and maybe even years.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're not told. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're absolutely right. This wasn't a 1 week occurrence.
No, he was acquiring all that stuff.
Right, he got all the animals.
Say that again.
Well, he took all that stuff. He was worshiping another god.
Well, Yeah. Well, I don't know that Abram was worshiping the extra things or wealth that he had, but he didn't turn it away either, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's our next question. So how did this scenario play out for Sarai? Well, she was claimed by Pharaoh. You're Abram's sister? Hey, how about you come into the palace with me? And how did it play out for Abram? Tom was just talking about it.
He was able to get lots of
money. Oh, yeah. Pharaoh said, hey, brother man, here, I got some stuff for you. Let me give you some extra livestock, you know, a few extra coins, whatever it may be. He was treated well by Pharaoh for the sake of Sarai. So it seems like it's working out fairly well for Abram at this point in time, right?
Yeah. I guess I have a problem with the fact that back then, you know, he knew his wife was beautiful, but I guess I'm just thinking, I think nowadays people look at people and think they're beautiful, but I guess I didn't realize back in the olden days, old days, that was an issue. You know, I guess I just didn't realize that was an issue.
I think it was for the pharaohs and all your kings and everything. I mean, they talk about a lot of them having lots of wives. So, I mean, they're...
But, I mean, the beauty thing. That,
yeah.
You know, they make such an issue about the beauty thing.
Right.
You know? And I guess I didn't think back in those days it was an issue like, you know, aging is now.
Right.
Beautiful things now.
Sure.
And
sure. Yeah, I think, Arlene, what I would say, I think, is that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon says, right? Human nature is human nature, and beauty has always been desired. Now, it may be, it's been defined differently through the ages, but beauty was always desirable. Handsomeness was always desirable. And so I don't think it's anything new. It's just, it was playing out in Abram and Sarai's day, the same as it does in our day. Yeah.
It would be different for each guy. I mean, you would probably think somebody more beautiful than I would.
Sure.
Back and forth, you know.
Sure.
The other way around.
Sure, but there's always the desire for whatever we perceive as beautiful, right? You know, or handsome or whatever it may be. So that's always an issue.
You always want to get somebody that you're attracted to.
Absolutely. Human nature... His human nature has been the same throughout the millennium. And, you know, it's just the way it is. How do you suppose Sarai is feeling about this? How's Sarai feeling about this?
She's probably scared out of her wits, too.
I can't imagine.
Like, what's
she must have been terrified.
Yeah.
It's kind of like prostituting her.
Absolutely.
Down the river.
Absolutely. Abram was putting her in a situation where she could potentially be prostituting herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I hope when you're talking about how long it takes to acquire all those things, that it did happen in a week.
Yeah. Well, Carrie, but we're probably. You know what? We talked before about God guiding things and working all things.
Yeah.
So God intervened here.
Yeah.
God intervened, and so despite Abram's selfishness and sinfulness and lack of trust, for the sake of Sarai and the future, God intervened. Yeah. How do you suppose Abram's feeling at this point in time?
Great, because he's getting all this stuff.
You think he's feeling great? And I suppose in some way, Aubrey, well, this is kind of nice, but I think ultimately, I think he's ashamed. I think he's probably also terrified. How now is the promises God gave me going to happen? How are they going to come to be? What's going to happen to Sarah? What have I done?
He should have been more afraid of what God would do to him. That's a great point.
That's a great point. Yeah. What were the chances? Oh, and hopeless. And it leads us to the next question. What were the chances of Abram and Sarai being reunited, humanly speaking?
Slim.
Zero. Right. Yeah, zero. Slim to none, right?
Zero.
Yeah. No. Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, she might have gone to the Pharaoh and liked him.
Yeah.
He probably had all kind of wealth.
I'm sure she was pampered there, no doubt, but I can't imagine she was comfortable with that situation. Finally out of the tent. Thanks, Abram. Our time is almost up.
What do you mean it's almost up?
Not according to that clock?
Well, you don't go by that clock.
Well, maybe somebody should make that clock correct then. Okay. One more question. What were the potential ramifications of this turn of events? We talked about it, alluded to it already.
Pharaoh could have killed him.
Yep. But what about the spiritual ramifications? She could have got pregnant from Pharaoh, right? Yep. And if Abram and Sarah were not reunited, the line to the Savior was broken. Yeah.
Major ramifications.
Major spiritual ramifications of this. This is maybe a good place to stop. Sorry, I went over. I always go by that clock, which tells us that we're a whole hour past our time. Let's close with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for all your tremendous, astounding, comforting promises. And we thank you that even though we so often fail to trust you and make a mess of things, that you pick up the pieces in such a beautiful, wonderful way. We give you all praise and all glory and thanks for everything that you do for us and everything you've done throughout history to give us a Savior and to ensure that we would be in heaven with you one day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.